Eliot says, I think we might divide up all the people in the world into two classes, the complainers and the thankful. Which are you? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, the challenging radio ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, helping you find joy in your Christian walk with the Savior today. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, beginning today a series on repentance. Oswald Chambers says, there is a passion for souls that does not spring from God, but from the desire to make converts to our point of view. That quotation gave me pause. What do I really want? What is my purpose in doing Gateway to Joy? Is it to make converts to Christ Himself? Is it to help people to learn to live for Him and with Him and in Him and to Him? Or is it merely a desire to make converts to my point of view? Well, God helping me, it is not the latter. It's not my purpose on Gateway to Joy to make you think the way I think or feel the way I feel, but to point you to Christ, to take you to the foot of the cross. I'm so often asked how I feel about this or that issue. The first question that I would ask is, has God said anything about it? I had a conversation after a speaking engagement with a woman who said she was absolutely fed up with her husband. She didn't love him. She didn't respect him. She wanted out. She said, I've been to 3 Christian counselors. And I said, did they help you? Well, yeah, I mean, like, well, you know, they sort of helped me deal with my feelings. I said, they were Christian counselors? And she said, yes. And I said, they helped you deal with your feelings? She said, yes. I said, is that all? And she said, yeah, I think so. So I asked her, did anyone say that you must love your husband? And she looked at me in shock, and she said, no. Not one of those 3 Christian counselors told her that she was supposed to love her husband. Now, I know from Titus 2:3-5, that as an older woman, one of my responsibilities is to teach younger women to love their husbands. If I were an older man, it would be my responsibility to teach younger men how to love their wives. The Bible is very plain about how a man is to love his wife. It says he must love her as Christ loved the church. What does that mean? It means sacrifice. That's not my point of view. That's God's command. And I really find it very difficult to understand how someone who calls himself a Christian counselor could do nothing with a woman who's in a situation so painful as that, but help her deal with her feelings. I don't know what they did in helping her deal with their feelings, but I have a sneaking suspicion that at least one or two of them might have just said, well, you know, it's okay to feel like that. It's okay to be angry. It's okay to express your feelings. But the Bible says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another. Love one another. Love is a command. I was talking with a friend who had had a conversation with a homosexual. She said that this man had said to her that he was trying to learn to cope with his feelings. I said, what did you say to him? She said, I said to him, no, you do not need to learn to cope with your feelings. You need a total renunciation of this lifestyle. And you know what? That man took her advice, and he did just that. This week, I want to talk to you about a subject far too little spoken of, but one on which God has much to say. It's repentance. The woman who doesn't respect, doesn't love, doesn't even like her husband, needs to repent. The man who is a homosexual doesn't need to deal with his feelings. He needs to repent and turn around and go the other direction. That's what repentance means. And I've just read Dr. James I. Packer's new book, Rediscovering Holiness. And he uses the expression, growing downward to grow up. That's the name of one of his chapters. And he has put this whole subject together far better, far more clearly and simply than I could ever do. Dr. Packer has a wonderful way of doing that. He has a far better brain than I have. He's a theologian, which I'm not, and he knows how to write. So I'm very grateful. But I want to assure you that I'm not here to convert you to Dr. J.I. Packer's point of view or to mine, but to God's. So let's begin with God's Word, Jeremiah 18, verses 7 to 10. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or a kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended to do for it. Notice that God tells us that our repentance will make him relent and reconsider the punishment that he had promised. Repentance is a 180-degree turn. In Luke 15, verses 3 to 7, Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Dr. Packer talks about growing downward in order to grow up. Of his own ministry in relation to that of the Lord Jesus, John the Baptist said, "He must become greater, I must become less." Dr. Packer says, of our lives as believers, something similar has to be said. Pride blows us up like balloons, but grace punctures our conceit and lets the hot, proud air out of our system. The result, a very salutary result, is that we shrink and end up seeing ourselves as less, less nice, less able, less wise, less good, less strong, less steady, less committed, less of a piece than we ever thought we were. We stop kidding ourselves that we are persons of great importance to the world and to God. We settle for being insignificant and dispensable. And I think perhaps what Jesus is getting at in that parable when he refers to people who don't need any repentance, the truth is, of course, that everyone needs to repent. But I think he's referring to those self-righteous people who don't think they need any repentance. Dr. Packer quotes the Scottish scholar James Denny, who said that it is impossible at the same time to leave the impression both that I am a great preacher and that Jesus Christ is a great Savior. It's impossible at the same time to leave the impression that I am a great preacher and that Jesus Christ is a great Savior. In the same way, it's impossible at the same time to give the impression both that I am a great Christian and that Jesus Christ is a great master. So the Christian will practice curling up small, as it were, so that in and through him or her, the Savior may show himself great. That, says Dr. Packer, is what I mean by growing downward. He says, what I intend to argue is that Christians are called to a life of habitual repentance as a discipline integral to healthy, holy living. The first of Luther's 95 theses nailed to the Wittenberg church door in 1517 declared, when our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, repent, he willed that the whole life of believers should be one of repentance. And that word, habitual, is your life a habitual repentance? Dr. Packer says, I don't mean to imply that repentance can ever become automatic and mechanical, as our table manners and our driving habits are. It cannot. Every act of repentance is a separate act and a distinct moral effort, perhaps a major and costly one. Repenting is never a pleasure. Always, in more senses than one, it is pain and will continue to so long as life lasts. No, when I speak of habitual repentance, I have in mind the forming and retaining of a conscious habit of repenting as often as we need to, though that, of course, means, let's face it, every day of our lives. I love the prayer that says, Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have done those things which we ought not to have done. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done. And there is no health in us. Well, I haven't got time to repeat the rest of that prayer of confession. You can confess your sins in any way that you want to. Just make sure that it's real repentance, which means forsaking that sin, turning around, and going in the opposite direction.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.